Thank you for joining us in singing today. I invite you now to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, we've just recently begun our study through the second epistle of Peter, having finished the first epistle. It seemed appropriate to just keep moving on. And we see, as we've tried to summarize in the beginning, we've had a broad outline, a point for each chapter. Chapter 1 is Peter's exhortation to believers. Chapter 2 is his condemnation of false teachers. And chapter 3 is about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's begin again. Chapter 1, 2 Peter, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My, what we have been given. That's what I want us to look at this morning. What we have been given. Let's pray. Let's stand together as we pray. Stretch out a little, and I think it's good for us to stand as we look to the Lord again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we need your help. I need your help as I preach your word. And I pray your word will find lodging in our heart, and that it will bring forth fruit 100-fold, Lord, that we would be blessed by your word. We would respond to it. We would obey it. And for any here that have never trusted Christ, that they would hear the word to come and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and that they would be saved. So bless our time. Help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen to do your will, Lord. May your name be glorified, as you only are worthy of all glory and power and honor. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, keeping us, saving us, and blessing us so richly by your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We were talking last time about like precious faith in verse 1. We have a like precious faith, and that faith brings us three things. Number one, that faith brings us, verse 2, multiplied peace, or a multiplied grace and peace. Number two, that faith brings us a dynamite life in verse 3, a dynamite life. Life, the power of God. And then thirdly, that faith brings us magnificent promises that we're going to look at today. Magnificent promises. So we have been given, verse 1, a like precious faith with Peter. It's a faith like Peter's, in the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, we looked at last time, it's a faith that is equal to Peter's faith and Paul's faith and all the other men and women of the Bible, their faith. And that like precious faith brings us multiplied grace and peace. In other words, that faith brings us grace upon grace upon grace and peace upon peace upon peace. But it doesn't come automatically, but through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In other words, it comes from the Word. It comes from the Word. And if we're in the Word and we're feasting on the Word, we're reading the Word, meditating upon the Word, we have no excuse for not enjoying His peace and experiencing His grace. You see, it comes from doctrine, from knowing God and the things that are spoken to us in His Word. It comes from knowing who He is and what He's done and what He will do. Then comes peace. Peace. So we saw last time that faith brings us grace and peace, but more than just a little grace and a little peace, but rather multiplied grace and peace. As we see in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied. It's grace upon grace that results in peace upon peace. We'll never have the peace of God till we experience the grace of God. And it's as though Peter's saying, whatever conflict, whatever trial, problem, affliction, even sin, there's always more grace. For where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God spoke to Paul these words when he was facing the trial of his thorn in the flesh. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, in 2 Corinthians 12. Secondly, we also saw that like precious faith, not only brings multiplied peace, but it brings us dynamite life. It brings us dynamite life. Verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. In other words, we are freely given all that we need. Did you know that? God has given you all that you need. Every single thing you need. Every single thing we need that has to do with life and godliness. And that's all that matters. Life, eternal life, and godliness. And if we aren't where we should be, or maybe could be spiritually, it's not because we don't have the power. As believers, we do. Every one of us. We have been given what we need by his divine dunamis. The Greek word for power is dunamis, which means dynamite. Dunamis, dynamite, sounds similar, doesn't it? Because it is. In other words, we've been given great power, all the power and ability and strength we need. I forget that sometimes. I think, oh, everything's falling apart. Woe is me. I don't have the strength. I can't do it. And God says, get up and get going. Just get going and do it. Be strong and of good courage, God says. We have the power and strength. But what am I doing with it? Is my life bringing glory to God that is due him, that is owed to him? Because I owe him everything. I think sometimes we believe God gives us eternal life that we might just be his trophies, sitting on a trophy case. I'm amused sometimes when I go into someone's home and they have a trophy case. You know, sometimes I remember one time going to someone's home and they had dozens and dozens of trophies for winning bowling championships. Now, I'm not into bowling, so I can't appreciate what it must take to win bowling trophies. But, you know, but what's interesting is they're all crooked and the shelf is dusty and, you know, he quit admiring those trophies long ago. But sometimes we think that's what God saves us for, just to be put on his little trophy case for admirers to come by and look at every once in a while. We're just showcase Christians, if that. Well, may it not be so. May it not be so. May we be active, serving, worshiping. God help us to give ourselves to getting as dirty as farmers get and maybe as stinky as fishermen get, because we're at it. We're working. We're going to be using that dunamis, that power, in serving people and enslaving for Christ, working the fields of harvest, fishing the sea of men for the glory and the pleasure of God. After all, it's not for me, it's all for God. Even my infirmities, my troubles, my disease, my pain, God gives that we might glory in him. I can bring glory to him in all of my trials. And I best be doing it, because if I just look within instead of up and without, I'm in trouble. and I only add to my misery, don't I? So, like precious faith brings us multiplied peace, secondly, a dynamite life, and thirdly, today, faith brings magnificent precious promises. Magnificent precious promises. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What a rich, rich treasure chest that we have here to open and enjoy. And that's exactly what God wants you and me to do. Wants you and me to do, to enjoy his promises and blessing and victory and hope and all his treasures forevermore. God wants that for you. Look at the trio of blessings. First, exceeding great and precious promises. Secondly, partakers of the divine nature. And thirdly, having escaped the corruption. It's Thanksgiving time, right? So we must be ever so thankful for God's promises. So what we've been given, a precious transaction, whereby, in other words, through these, by these, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That what we've been given, a precious transaction. A great transaction was made in that God gave us Jesus Christ and took our sin and with him gave us all the promises of the Word of God. Exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great is one word in the original language, and that word in the Greek is mega. God has given us mega promises. Mega. You know, we use mega all the times. Mega millions, mega vitamins, a megaphone, mega watts, megabytes, megatons, and so on, and so on, and so on. We have been given mega promises. In other words, God's given you, as a believer, great, big promises through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. You know, whereby, when he says whereby, I think that's referring back to verse 3, the phrase, the knowledge of him, the knowledge of him. In other words, it is by Jesus Christ and him alone that we are given great big promises. That's who he is, our great God who gives great things and great promises, the greatest promises. No less than the greatest for his child. He desires that we have everything that we need to live the kind of life that he expects us to live and even demands us to live. Are we doing it? We're equipped for it. We have all we need to live holy lives, loving lives, giving lives, serving lives. We have all that we need to be faithful and to know him more and more, to love him more and more, and to have an intimate relationship with him. Not to just love him, but to actually be in love with him. To be in love with him. How can we not love and serve the one who gave his all for us and continues to give all to us? Romans 8, 31 and 32, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all on the cross, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then Jesus said in Matthew 7, 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receives. And he that seeks, finds. And him that knocks, it shall be open. And so on. He gives and he gives and he gives. He gives more grace. Grace, grace, grace. Annie Johnson Flint, a woman named Annie Johnson Flint Born in 1866, died in 1932, Annie lost both of her parents before she was 6 years old. And so she was adopted. But she was adopted by a childless couple, and then Annie became afflicted with arthritis as a teenager. Later, she became unable to walk. She had wanted to be a composer and a concert pianist, but her illness deprived her of the ability to play the piano. So she began writing poetry. And later in life, being unable to open her hands, she wrote many of her poems on a typewriter using her knuckles. And out of these trials and problems came this great hymn, which has helped so many folks throughout the ages, and it was probably based on 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And she wrote this, he giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labors increase. To add an affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, multiply peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. My, what we've been given. We ought to think about that more often. Count your many blessings, right? Day by day, hour by hour, eternal life, the sure hope of heaven, permanent release and freedom and liberty from the bondage of Satan and sin. Listen to this, Luke 12:31-32, Jesus said, but rather seeking the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That came from the mouth of Jesus. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I've been looking at that a number of times this past week. Fear not, little flock, Luke 11:32, Luke 12:32. It is your Father's good pleasure. It's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. So why do we fear? Why do we worry? Why do we fret and complain and murmur and gripe and so on when God gives us everything? What God has given. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man. God saves you. He keeps you forever. Nothing and no one can ever rob you of eternal life. Never. I can get a lot of mileage out of that. You know? And the Lord is he that goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31:8. We give thanks. This time of year, we give thanks to God because he is always giving. Let's give thanks for the giving, right? We're giving thanks to a giving God. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And you know it, Psalm 23. I counted about 12 things at least that God does for us as his sheep, the great shepherd. Psalm 50, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. In the day of trouble, I can glorify him because he will deliver me. Going through trouble today? Then be glorifying God. Say, God, I want this to glorify you. I want to quit thinking about me and think about you. John 14, 26. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm sorry, John 14, 27. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8, 28. And Romans 10, 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So all you got to do, turn from your sin and believe. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. Philippians 4, 19, but my God shall supply all your need. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My, what he has given us. The magnificent promises. What a rich treasure chest that we have here in the Bible to open and enjoy. And it's always open. You know, it's interesting. We have a safe in this building that we inherited from the Elks when we bought this building. And many have tried to crack that safe. And they're just sure if they can open that safe. And we have the combination, supposedly, but nobody's been able to get into it. I saw a couple of our young men trying to open it up just this last week. And it's just kind of a conversation piece. And we always wonder what's in there. There might be gold. There might be silver. We don't know what the Elks may have stored in there, but nobody knows. We can't open this treasure chest, you know. But God's treasure chest is open. It's open. And out of it flows rich blessing and treasures, promises, victory, hope, and his treasures forevermore. That's who our God is. He gives and gives and gives. And he that gave his son, if he gave us Jesus Christ, who bore our sins, who was perfect, and never even thought one sinful thought, to take your place on the cross, will he not then give us all things to enjoy? How shall he not with him also bless us and give us what we need? Exceeding great and precious promises. Partakers of the divine nature, escape the corruption. So what we've been given? A precious transaction. Number two, what we become. What we become? Partakers of the divine nature. What we become? Companions or partners of a divine transformation. So a precious transaction and a divine transformation. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, you and I, from the moment we were saved, share in the very nature of God. That is amazing. That is astounding that God would do that. We share in the very nature of God, the divine nature. That is the very nature of God. Divine, the word divine carries the idea of God's self manifestation that allows you and me to know him. It is manifesting the characteristics of God's nature. It is the very likeness of God. That's what we become when we took Christ as our Savior. You see, we are made in the image of God. God made Adam and Eve in his image. But sin brought ruin to that image. And we became corrupt and depraved to our very core. And Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, in payment and atonement for our sin, has restored that relationship. There was a great gulf, and the cross is the bridge by which we cross over to know God and Jesus Christ. And now we are the very sons of God through his payment and atonement for our sin. And we are adopted children brought into his family. And we may call him our Father. He is our Father. For we are now family. The Holy Spirit has entered into our very soul. And thus at the moment of salvation, we were suddenly transformed from children of darkness to children of light and life and liberty. And God lives in you and me right now, if we know him as Savior. God, you are the temple of God. This building isn't the temple. You are the temple. And it becomes a church by our gathering together as children of God. You see? We were transformed from children of darkness to children of light. And God lives in you and me. Thus I'm a partaker, a sharer, a partner with the very nature of God. But am I living as one who is sharing in the nature of God, in whom God lives? 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 in part says, "And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." John 1, 12 and 13, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the flesh, but of the will of man, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God." 2 Corinthians 3:18, "We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of Christ." In other words, we're constantly being changed from one stage of glory into another as we walk with him. Ephesians 4:24, "That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now we have begun to be like him. In that day, we will be like him in his glory. Now, this doesn't mean that we become little gods. You are not a little god. We are still human beings with the remains of sin, and we still have a war going on within between the flesh and the spirit. And every single one of us knows that battle daily, daily. Sometimes hourly. We were not born with a spark of divinity in us, and we've just got to nurture it and grow it, and we'll eventually be like God. No, we need a transformation. We are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Then we become like God. We take on the characteristics of God. We are now composed of the moral character of God. We are like him, and we have from him within us now a new nature that desires holy living and godliness and righteousness and love and compassion and right desires. Is that in your heart? That you desire to love him and serve him and read his word and even tell others about him? We have become partakers or sharers in the nature of God, enabling us to have fellowship with God. And we have a new life because old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Our disposition is now towards Christ, for we experience nothing other than Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul writes in Colossians 3:10. Christ is now in you, not walking around you, but in you. We have fellowship with him. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:3. So, like precious faith brings us magnificent promises. What we've been given, a precious transaction. What we become, companions of a divine transformation. And thirdly, what we've escaped, a gracious separation. a gracious separation. I don't know if you're following this outline. I kind of didn't give it out very good, but it is kind of mixed up. But what we've been given, what we become, and what we have escaped by faith, right? Like precious faith, because his magnificent promises give us what we've been given, a precious transaction, what we become, companions, partners of a divine transformation, and now what we've escaped. What we've escaped. There's been a gracious separation. Separation from corruption. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 4. We've escaped. We've been freed from bondage. We've been transformed from death to life. We were sold under sin, enslaved to sin. Satan was our master. Satan was our prison guard. And he made sure that we served him and honored him and were always under his wicked rule. And we were apart from Christ's saving power. Apart from Christ and his Holy Spirit, I am corrupt and an alien enemy to God. You see, unredeemed man, all men, all women that are not Christian, that are not saved, are corrupt within and corrupt without. And I've got to escape this horrible condition to which I'm in bondage, but there's no escape. There is no escape. No help, no solution to my terrible sin and corruption. And I lived under the weight of that for years. Through my grade school years, my teen years, until I was 22. I had no hope, and I was a mess. I was a miserable creature, and I was corrupt within and without. And you were too before you were saved. Right? There is no escape. In my mind, what am I going to do? There's no escape except through Jesus Christ. And that's what changed me. That's who changed me. Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior in the universe that can help me, that can transform me, and make me fit to heaven. And nobody's going to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. Nobody. The Buddhists aren't going there. The Muslims aren't going there until they take Jesus Christ as their Savior. No other religion, no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Neither is there any salvation in any other but Jesus Christ. Having escaped the corruption, that word corruption, that's what we were. That means decomposition, decay, deterioration, ruin. We've escaped that. We said bye-bye. Bye-bye to that dead man. We were decomposing in every way, physically and spiritually. We were totally depraved, without hope in the world. God says of his people, Israel, that had rejected him in Isaiah 1, verse 4, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a scene of evildoers, children that are corrupt. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One to anger. They are gone away backward." God speaking of their spiritual condition. Now, though the outward man perished, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The Bible says somewhere, 2 Corinthians 4, I think. I just remind you, the outward man is still perishing, okay? This body is decomposing. But inwardly, we are renewed day by day. We're transformed from one stage of glory to another. You see, when Christ came and died on the cross, he tore the bars away, and we were set free through faith in him. He got the victory over sin and death and hell on our behalf, and he gave you and me that victory. And now we are regenerated rather than degenerating. And he graciously separated us from sin and death, and also we are separated from the eternal torments of hell. And hell. And I was headed for hell, and everyone without Christ is going to go to hell. They will go to hell and be tormented forever. That's what the Bible says. Say, I don't like that. Well, what I'd suggest is just take a marker, a black marker, and put a black marker over every verse in the Bible that talks about hell. And then maybe things will go better, right? No, we can't do that. God says there's a hell. But praise God, he separated us from that. Grace of separation. For this corruptible, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruptible, incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This corruption put on incorruption through Christ. He's so good. He gives and gives and gives and gives. And we receive and receive and receive. We're made partakers, right? Like precious faith brings magnificent promises in verse 4. We've been given a precious transaction. We become companions of a divine transformation, and we've escaped by that gracious separation. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives and he gives and he gives more grace. Let's thank him for that. And let's show our love and thanksgiving by serving him faithfully. Give our everything to him who gave his everything for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing verse of scripture that is such a treasure chest of promises and blessings. And we praise you, Lord, for all that you've done, for who you are, and what you're continuing to do, and what you will do in receiving us into the glories of heaven. I pray, Lord, you'll bless now as we close, if there be anyone here who isn't sure of heaven or has never made a commitment to you, never given their life to Christ. May they do so today, Lord. What a day that would be if today they would hear your voice and be saved, respond to your prompting. Bless now as we close, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.